on the point of the clarity of our sins were washed away. We're as clear and we're as white as snow. Without him, folks, we can't even stand. We couldn't even be able to be in the same room or have the Lord look upon us because of the total sin and the wickedness that's within our bodies. And we understand that through total depravity. I've preached on that 100 times. A lot of people don't like to hear that. You know, that they feel like there's something they need to be doing to save themselves or to help themselves. And a lot of people are in for a rude awakening when we explain that, and what the Scriptures preaches to us and teaches to us about total depravity.
Right.
I won't get into that this morning because I'll be here for another hour and a half if I get on to that. So basically what I want to talk about this morning is we sometimes lose focus, or we sometimes get so busy in the world today. Driving up here today was a good example of it. I knew where I needed to be this morning. I knew what I was going to talk about. I had everything routed out. I had my roadmap. My wife was GPSing us. We're on route and everything. I knew where I was going. I was focused, heading this way this morning. But from time to time, something was looking over there, and before I know it, I was all over the road. I was over here, and my wife was like, "Oh, you're going over here. Get over on the side of the road." So I have to go back because I get distracted. I'm looking over to the left. I'm looking over to the right. Well, that's pretty neat. I'm going to stop on the way home. You know, I'm more interested in what's going over here. I'm getting distracted. And as funny as that is, I think today we get distracted more than we actually believe that we do.
That's right.
And I see that, especially in the line of work that I do. And unfortunately, the old devil, and Brother Danny's always said this, anytime that we're doing God's work and we're doing God's will, the old devil's out there throwing things in front of us all the time. I don't think it says anywhere in the Bible that our road on salvation into heaven is going to be an easy one. That it's going to be no problems, no trials, no tribulations.
No.
I don't think it says that in there. If it does, I don't know what Bible you're reading from, because it constantly talks about that. And that's why
we
need to continually focus on the important things in life. Now, if I get too loud, I'm sorry, because when I get into it, I get extremely loud.
You won't get too loud, brother. I promise.
Brother Danny tells me he don't even let me wear a mic at home anymore because I get so loud. But I get excited. I can't help it. I tell people that's the joy that I have in my heart.
Amen.
And that's the quickening that I hope that everybody has, that joy, that first time that you realize the truth and you understand the truth and that love and that understanding that you have, please don't put it aside. Don't put it back here on the shelf and forget about it.
Right.
Folks, keep it right here. Because
Amen.
That's what makes us who we are.
That's right.
That's what makes us love the Lord. Don't worry about getting emotional. Don't worry about getting loud. Don't worry about what we believe in. Let's worry about what the Lord wants us to do. Let's start up here with chapter 12 in Hebrews. We've heard this. A lot of people's talked about, or we've heard people's preached about this 100 times. But I like to kind of focus back to it from time to time because it is important. Hebrews chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
We'll start off with verse 1 here. Most anybody can quote this, but I still like, even if I can quote it, I still like to turn to it and read it, because sometimes if I leave a word out, somebody will say, "Well, Brother David, you was doing this and you left a word out of the Scripture. You said it wrong," so I try not to do that. And plus, I want everybody to turn to it. Folks, this is what we need to be studying. This is what we need to be meditating on, reading it, not just on Sunday mornings, and then when you leave here, put it in the car, and you never look at it again. We need to continually read, study, and focus on this Bible. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, what he's talking about here is, we have a whole bunch of people that we can refer to. A whole bunch of people that we can look back on and reference different things and say, "I'm not the only one that's going through these bad things or these bad times or these trials and tribulations, or I'm not the only one that's having all these aches and pains and so forth, because I know, you know, in the end what it's going to be. I know what I believe in. I know where my love is. I know what the Lord is doing for me." Now, can we explain everything? No, we cannot. But we do have people that has been there and done it before us. And that's why right here, "Wherefore we seeing we're also come to us with so great a cloud of witnesses." If you don't have to, but if you go back to chapter 11, that's the faith chapter in the book of Hebrews.
Right.
You know, that to me, that's what we call the honor road. These are people, folks, that has been there and done that a long time ago and went through a heck of a lot more trials and tribulations and persecutions than we're going through today. We have an option where if we're looking at somebody and people don't like what we're saying, or we don't like what people are saying, we have an opportunity to leave. We have that free speech thing. And I was preaching Sunday before last at New Hope in Benton, and I told the congregation that I heard something on TV. Me and my wife was watching Wheel of Fortune, and there was somebody up there. It was a gentleman up there. He'd won the bonus round. He was going to the very end where they spin the wheel, and then they walk over there. And the first thing out of his mouth was, they asked him, he said, "Well, who do you have out in the audience with you?" Now, mind you, this is a man. He said, "I've got my husband right over there." And the crowd said, "Oh, boy," the crowd said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." Folks, when in the world do we wake up? And that's a norm in America?
Right.
When do we do that? Some of us folks have been here a long time. Some of us have been here a lot longer than I have. Would you have ever even thought of that when you was a child? Oh, Lord have mercy, where do we go wrong? But it's a norm. You know why it's a norm? Because we have taken focus off of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we put it to the side and we look to the things and say, well, I don't want to do this because, you know, we might make somebody mad over here on the right. We might make somebody mad over here on the left. So we're just going to kind of be like everybody in the middle. Folks, let me tell you something. I've been studying in Revelation chapter 2, I think, when you're talking about Thyatira, I believe is the name of the church. You had the Jezebel in there that believed in that Baal, and then they were kind of like a union city type. I'm trying to summarize this. And that you had to be a part of one of those little union things so that you can function within the side, within the town itself and understand. Of course, she was into fornication and all this other stuff, and people looked at it as if it was a norm. And if you'll read that, the Lord goes in there and says, well, you've done, you know, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good, but wait a minute. You're doing something that's not right. You're doing something that's wrong. And you need to repent from that. And that's the problem we've come into. We've lost the focus of what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
When we look back in the book of Hebrews, especially in chapter 11, with the faith chapter, there's so many people here that we can turn to and look. You've got Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, and so forth, and Abel. But each time when we look at each one of these, it's what? By faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. It's what we believe in. It's what we understand to be the truth. And without that, we are nothing. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We talked about this, and I preached about this last Sunday. When we have the faith, and we understand where we belong, and we understand what we're supposed to be doing, that's when we become, as the book of James, I think chapter 1 says, we become doers of the word. We become doers of our faith. That is when we get out and do things. That's a big misconception some of our other brothers and sisters have, that they think they can work their way to heaven. That's about as wrong as you can possibly get. And I don't know how they get off on that thinking they can do that. Some people don't like to hear that, but folks, let me tell you something. That is not the case. We are doers of the word. We are doers because faith without works is dead. And time and time and time again, it says throughout here that we are supposed to go out and do things. You got the charity or the love chapter talking about charity. What is charity? Charity is love with feet. That's when we get out and do things to help one another. Why don't we do that? Because of the fellowship that we have for one another. The
right.
love that we have for one
right.
another. I don't know any of you people, but I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. I'll be there for you if you needed me. I promise you that. And that's not just me saying that. That is the God's honest truth. Just like I would be for this man right here. Not many people that I honor are set up to the point where that I look at and say, I respect this individual a whole lot, and I thank a lot of them, and I know what they do and so forth. But I know for a fact that there's a handful of people that I really look up to. I know the Bible says that we're not supposed to put ourselves on a pedestal. We're not supposed to look down on people. We're not supposed to make think that we're better than everybody else. And I try not to do that, and I'm far from it. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that I do respect. And he's one of them. Because of the people down in our area that we live, from what he lives and what he believes in and what he does, the faith is so strong in him that it even bleeds over into our area up north. That's hard to say in Kentucky, saying you're from up north, but down here we're up north. So, yeah, get a kick out of that. It's the first time I can say that, being up north of Kentucky. But it's the truth. That's what I'm talking about. Being a doer of the word, understanding what we believe in, and wanting to share that with people. Not just with our congregation, but with people without. Going out and doing God's work. It's important to do that. But that's what they're showing here. As far as understanding what we believe in, and understanding that this is what God wanted us to do. That's chapter 11. And folks, let me tell you something. If you ever get down, now go down there and read that. Especially if you go down to verse 32, when we talk about the many, many heroes of faith that some people kind of get away from that isn't in particularly mentioned in there. It says, and what shall I say more for the time that shall follow me? It's kind of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and of the prophets whose face subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. We know who that was. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of swords, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed fast in fight, turned in fight of the enemy, armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but they might obtain a better resurrection. It goes on and on and on and on about these problems and tribulations and trials that we had throughout life. And it's important to realize that we have somebody to turn to. Going back to chapter 12, verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's where we have a problem, is we don't. We don't let go of those things that gets us off track, that gets us not focused on what we're supposed to be doing. We get detoured off. We go around, out and about, around the other way instead of doing what we needed to be doing. We do realize that, I think it says, and I have to look here to make sure, 1 Peter, you don't have to turn, I'm going to read real fast. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's what we're supposed to do. Folks, let me tell you something. A lot of times when we have so much issues and problems in life, we spend more time looking and focusing on everybody else to fix our problems, except for the one person that can. Go to prayer. You don't have to go to your neighbor. You don't have to go to your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your friend down the road and complain about everything that's going on and so forth. And I told Brother Danny, talked about this a while back. I think he even talked to Brother Paul about this. The problem that we have is we've got to turn it around wrong. We've turned it around wrong.
Amen.
Yeah. I believe Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I understand, you know, that He can do this and He can do that. But let me tell you something, Brother David. I've got so much problems. I've got so much issues at home and finances, and the bills are packing up, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I believe the Lord chose me before the foundation of the world. But Brother David, I can't, my knees are hurting, my back's hurting. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just feel terrible. Folks, we need to turn that around. Get off the negative side of things. Stay with the positive side of things.
Amen.
Oh, my knees are hurting. My back's hurting. I just don't feel good. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how things are going to come to the end. But let me tell you something. I got a Lord and Savior that's been there and done that before me.
Right.
And I know for a fact, because the Bible tells me so, that not only do I love Him, but He loved me first. And folks, He'll help you through it.
Amen.
End on that positive note. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know what? I'm casting all my cares aside because the Lord Himself loves me.
Right.
It's going to be all right.
He cares for me.
Folks, sometimes we need to let go of them reins. We need to let go and say to ourselves, you know what? I've had enough. Enough is enough. Let go. Let Him be in charge for a change. That's the problem with us. We look at things and say to ourselves, no, there's something that I have to do. I've got to be in charge. I'm up front. I'm in the spear of the sword. I'm going to do this, and the Lord's going to be over to help me, but I'm in charge. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing everything I need to. Folks, let me tell you something. We've gotten so far off track that we're losing focus on what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And the Bible plainly tells us that. And what are we doing? We're passing it from generation to generation to generation, where now the generations are looking at each other and saying it to each other, well, it's okay for me to think that because, you know, I'm an individual. And I have rights. So I can say what I want to say. I don't know where we're going to wind up with that or what's going to happen in the end. But let me tell you something. There is something that we have to be concerned about and we have to wonder about from time to time. And I tell you what, if we don't focus on it, we're going to have some issues. I believe 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn, I'm going to read it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's a good foundation that we stand on. What foundation do you stand on? I stand on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's who I stand on.
Amen.
Because without Him, we're nothing. What's that song? Sinking sand? Folks, we're nothing but sinking sand without Him. Those are the problems that we're going to run into if we don't stay focused on Him. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what we're supposed to do. Folks, my life is different than your life. My goal in life is different than your goal in life. My gifts and treasures that the Lord has bestowed upon me through grace is mine. Yours is yours. Mine is mine. We're all running a race. I'm running my race.
Right.
He's running his race.
Amen.
We're all running our own race.
That's right.
The problem we run into is we're not focused on what we're supposed to be doing. And don't get me wrong, and don't take this wrong, but folks, let me tell you something. When we're running a race and you watch it on TV, if they're running down that road, if they're more worried about what everybody else is doing, what's going to happen? Just like I was talking about this morning when I was getting here. We're going to go off to the left. We're going to go off to the right. We're going to stop and do this. Well, here, let me come over. Pull over. Let me help you here. I think you're doing it wrong, but I know how to do it better, so let me show you how to do it. Folks, let me tell you something. You need to pull that motor out of your eye and fix yourself before you can help somebody else.
Right.
That's the problem we run into. Those are the issues that we see. We're too focused on everything else around us. Bible says we're not supposed to be out of the world. We're just in it. Folks, this isn't our home. We're just passing through here.
Right.
That's the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got better things coming.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't so, He wouldn't have said so. But it's right. A promise that He made within the Bible. And it's there. No more hurting, no more pain, no more crying. It's going to be a good place.
Amen.
I fully believe that.
Amen.
I fully believe that. Verse 2 says, here's what we're supposed to be doing, folks. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How much plainer does that get? Don't get any plainer than that. I don't know how you can sidestep that. I don't know how you can look around that. I don't know how you can set that aside and think, well, I got to do something else. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. And then towards the end, you know, we can do what we want to do. And folks, let me tell you something. That's the biggest problem that I have with some of the denominations out here in the world today. Is that people think that they can live a sinful life, their whole life, with no consequences. Nothing. Until the day that they think that the Lord's going to take them, then what are they going to do? They're going to repent. They're going to repent. And there's three phases in repenting, but they're going to repent and they think everything's going to be okay. That wouldn't be a bad religion, would it? Do what you want while you're here on earth. Doesn't matter. Hey, get into all kind of trouble. Do what you want to do. And then when you're done, when you know the time's come, just repent. Boom, you're going to heaven. I don't know how people get off knowing that. They must know something I don't know, because that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
Who, for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We talk about this time and time again. Folks, let me tell you something. I preached about this last Sunday. Talk about foot washing. A lot of people don't understand why a primitive Baptist does foot washing. Well, because if you read it in there, what did Jesus do? He was eating, got done, got up, girded himself, put a towel around him, went over there, started washing his disciples' feet, even the one that was betrayed him. And he knew that. And then what did he say? If I'm doing this, then you need to be doing this.
Right. Amen.
When in life have we put ourselves on a pedestal higher than Jesus Christ himself? Think, well, you know what? We don't need to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. What's that mean to me? That didn't mean, well, let me tell you something, folks. If that don't mean anything to you, and everything that our Lord and Savior went through, the trials, the tribulations, and the pain, and the suffering, and knowing beforehand what he was going to go through, and still done it because he loved us.
Yes.
How can we, being totally depraved, being sinners, nothing we can do to save ourselves, stand up and look at somebody or look at our Lord and Savior and pray to him and say, you know, Lord, I understand this and I know where you're going, but I don't think I need to do that.
Mm.
I don't think I want to do that.
Mm.
I don't believe I'm going to be on the receiving end of what he has to say to that. By any means.
Right.
Folks, let me tell you something. I don't have the answers to everything. I don't know everything. There are a few things in life that I do know. I do know who my Lord and Savior is. I know our crosses are hard to carry and they're heavy.
Yeah.
The sins that we have, the troubles that we have, I see it every day. Not even on, not just talking about my own, but I see the suffering and the pain that people in our community, in our county goes through. And it's hard knowing that they're doing wrong. But from time to time, maybe try to give them some kind of a little inkling. Maybe if you tried this or if you done that. But thinking to myself, and this is a crying shame, folks, thinking to myself, David, you better watch what you say to them. Because if you say something wrong to somebody, they're going to be gigging you because you're trying to pass your religion, or you're trying to pass something over to them other than on the law enforcement side of it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, folks. That's where we've gone wrong. We've turned our focus away from him.
That's right.
We've turned it to all this other stuff and so forth. We were talking not too long ago, and I was telling my wife, or we were preaching about this, and I know it's not that I'm picking on other or denominations or anything like that, but I do have some serious issues about some of the things that some of our other brothers and sisters, and I call them brothers and sisters, yes, because I do believe this, folks. Let me tell you something real quick. Let me get this out of the way. I believe in my heart that there are brothers and sisters out here that are going to other denominations.
That's right.
That are mine and your brothers and
Amen.
Sisters.
Amen. That's right.
They've just never heard the doctrines of grace. And let me tell you something, folks. The day that the good Lord gives them that quickening in the heart, and they understand, then what are they going to do? We call that the quickening of the heart. Then when we have that gospel call, when they want to go to the Bible, and they want to read the Bible, and they understand, first and foremost, the righteousness of God, what God has done for us. And then they understand the salvation, what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ done to us, for us. They've never heard that. They've never heard that. And I believe that. For that one denomination I was talking about, we were looking at their Ten Commandments. And folks, I hate to say it, but one of their Ten Commandments out, they left out, talking about having any idols and all that other stuff, that's not even in their Ten Commandments. They took that one completely out. Hmm. You're not supposed to bow down and worship any idol or false images or anything like that. They've taken that out of their Ten Commandments and added another one. Why do you think that is? I know exactly why it is. Being totally depraved and being a sinner, what are we looking for? We're looking for something that we can touch, that we can physically see and lay our eyes upon and focus on and pray to and worship. We look back in the Bible, not in the faith chapter, but we look back in the Bible on several different things. Look at what poor Moses went through, the troubles and stuff he had. Okay, now y'all hang tight. We'll go over here for a second, get some important stuff. I'll be right back, and look what happened. Wow. You know? How do you think he felt?
Didn't take long.
What are y'all doing? I mean, where did this come from? I mean, he handled a lot better than I would. A lot better than I would have. But those are the problems that we have. We can't seem to focus on something that we can't see.
Right.
Why? Because it's not in front of us. But faith is acceptance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what that is.
Yep.
And we lose that focus. We lose that focus. We need to understand the importance of what the Lord is doing for us, and understanding that we need to look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He went through all of his trials and tribulations, enduring the cross and the beatings and on the cross and so forth. Even then, towards the end, that's what I tell people. Even then, towards the end, what did he say? It is finished.
Yeah, that's right.
It's done. It is finished. What does that mean to the general person outside the doctrines of grace, in my opinion? Nothing. Well, he died. They killed him. Folks, let me tell you something. The problem that I have with that is if you read beforehand, he talks about the works that God had given him to finish. And then when he dies on the cross, what does he say? It is finished.
Yeah.
Done.
Right.
So how in the world do we think, as total deprived sinners, how do we think that we can get out here and say, well, Jesus didn't finish this, so I'm going to get out here and finish it myself. Somebody's got to step up to the plate and do it, and I think I'm the man to do it. Folks, I wouldn't want to be that person who says that.
No.
That's not the case. He gave up the ghost. They may have thought that they killed him, but they did not kill him. He gave up the ghost.
That's
the Bible
right.
says that.
Amen.
If he was to hang on that cross for five more days, if he wanted to, let me tell you something, he'd hung there. But he gave up the ghost. He didn't die on that. We didn't kill him on that cross. He died on that cross after his work was finished.
Amen.
And we miss that, folks. We miss that from time to time. That's why we have to go back and realize what foundation we're standing on. Are we standing on solid rock? Are we standing on quicksand? Or are we sinking? Or are we standing firm? The Bible says it's to be steadfast, move forward, you know, understanding what we're supposed to be doing. And I think it's Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Everything in life that we do, folks, is to man, or is not to man, but to God.
Right. Amen.
How many times do people ask you, how you feeling today? Oh, pretty good, pretty good. You know, not this, not that, and so forth. I try to. People ask me, every day the good Lord allows me to get out of bed is a good day.
Right.
Sisters that are up there in years, brothers that are up in years, ain't that an amen?
Yeah.
Every morning the Lord allows you to get up out of bed and be here. I guarantee you there's folks that are nursing home, folks that are laying at home in their bed. I know there is in our congregation or members of our church that wish they could get out and come to church.
Too.
And they can't.
Right.
Because they're physically disabled to do so. But that faith is still within their heart. When we go visiting with them and Brother Danny talking with them, you'd be amazed how their face glows up, their smile comes big, and they want to hear a little bit about the gospel. They want to talk about the good things that the Lord has done for them. And very regularly do they mention the negative things about what's happening to them because they're staying on the positive side.
Right. Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's not easy to do because, folks, I had that problem myself. My wife tries to correct me from time to time. I'll be on a rant and ranting, and as you can tell, I get loud and I get upset. And she'll be listening for a certain point, and I'll be blah, 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 all about work and everything else. You know what she says to me? Have you read your Bible today? Boy, that shuts me up pretty quick, doesn't it? Oh, man, I tell you what, she's been listening to me too much. I don't know what the problem is. I'm going to do something different. But we have to. We lose focus. That's that anger that's built up within us. That's just part of it. Part of that's part of that total depravity that we have. But folks, let me tell you something. With that irresistible grace that we have that is bestowed upon us, we need to take hold of that. Like I said from the beginning, never lose it. Never set it aside. Never forget about it. And thank our Lord and Savior every day for what He has given us, for what He has done for us, and most especially, what He's going to do for us when the time comes.
Amen. Amen.
It's unbelievable what people think. But folks, something that I try to bestow upon people and let them know that life's not perfect. We're living in an imperfect world. Don't get too conformed with what's going on of the world and get involved in it.
Right.
We're in this world. We're here to let our light shine, as the Bible says. That's what Jesus also talked about in John chapter 1. We're talking about John the Baptist. He was a light, but he was not the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John the Baptist did. He was a doer.
Yeah,
he was a doer.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do, folks. And contrary to popular belief, we need to stay firm in what we believe in.
Amen.
Whether we're 80 years old, whether we're 8 years old. Because, folks, let me tell you something. Our numbers are far few and in between, but I believe we've got it right. And I think we can back it by the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, folks, let me tell you something. We may be few in between, but when that time comes, it's going to be grand.
Amen.
And then we can officially say, you know what? I've let go. And I'm home.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not hurting anymore. Won't be no crying either.
That's
we'll be
right,
after it a day as long. And folks, if you don't have that in your heart, and you don't have that belief and that understanding of what the Lord has already done for us and what He continues to do for us, even though we have our problems, when we get to that point where that cross is too heavy to carry, I guarantee you He's carrying it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And helping us move on and move on and move on.
Right.
Folks, my wish this morning is for you to stay steadfast and unmovable in the Word of the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. May God bless you this morning. This is my prayer.
Amen.